You're listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum from humanmedia.org.
People should know that cancer isn't one disease, and that's one of the things that makes it complicated to conduct research on. It's not one process in the body. It's a very complicated set of processes. And similarly, eating and exercise are biologically very complicated too. And so what I think the scientific field is struggling with is what are the proper scientific approaches to zero in on those changes that are going to make the most difference for the most people. I'm heartened that really the evidence hasn't changed very much during my career, which is about 30 years of time. We're still recommending that Americans eat more plant foods than they are eating. We are seeing that fresh foods seem to be emerging as compared with processed foods, that fresh foods seem to be emerging as more healthful, and that probably isn't very surprising. And we're seeing that physical activity is very much a part of the nutrition equation. So in many ways, these are the same recommendations that have been made for 40 or 50 years, but we're now gaining a much more scientific understanding about the reasons that these recommendations are so influential to health. What's happening is, to me, that the evidence is growing stronger for the type of diet that we've been discussing, that is, one where most of the foods are plant foods or fresh foods, and less of the foods are processed with using fats, flour, and sugar ingredients. And that is very kind of elementary information from the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s.
I just want to be very clear cut on one main point to make sure I'm understanding you correctly. Although there are different studies and different ways of analyzing diet, science, you're saying, in no way is retreating from the basic recommendations to eat more fruits and vegetables and to do so in as unprocessed a form as possible.
That is correct.
What's being confirmed about the disease preventive qualities of fruits and vegetables?
The exciting things that I've seen in recent years have been confirmation in large trials that higher amounts of fruits and vegetables have health benefits. The strongest evidence is emerging in the area of heart disease and stroke. And the DASH trial that was done a number of years ago was quite remarkable in showing that generous servings of fruits and vegetables, along with the low-fat dairy products and a lower fat and lower overall fat intake, made very large differences in stroke and heart attack rates. And so that evidence, since heart disease and stroke are the first and third causes of premature death in the United States, that is really remarkable scientific evidence that can guide us in the daily choices we make. In the cancer area, the consensus with regard to cancer sites, meaning the organ in which the cancer is found, remain strong for lung cancer, oral cancers, esophageal, stomach, and colon. So basically, the cancers that are associated with epithelial tissue, and there's also evidence that suggests sometimes the skin cancer might benefit from a higher fruit and vegetable intake. The areas where we didn't see especially strong suggested evidence, for example, breast cancer, the randomized control trials are not showing much benefit. That said, I think it's important to know that in the American diet, again, as in Western diets, the amount of fruits and vegetables that people in these trials are being asked to consume is not that high. So our international studies show that when people are eating 7, 8, 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, that's when you see the improvement in a whole bunch of chronic diseases. Whereas in many of the trials that we see, they don't ask for that level of change. But we've seen in epidemiologic studies that there's a continuum. So the more fruits and vegetables that population segments do consume, the lower the rates of many types of cancer. So to me, the 5-a-day goal is really a minimum. And we know from our population studies that women are eating maybe 4 servings a day. They're not quite at the 5 level. And that's probably not enough to be protective later in life, particularly when latent cancer becomes diagnosed. So I think that from a public health perspective, the take-home message is that we need to, as a nation, eat more fruits and vegetables starting in childhood and continue that practice through adulthood. And that laid the groundwork for the recommendations that now are national nutrition policy, and that is intakes of fruits and vegetables for most women at 7 servings, and for active women at, say, 9 servings, and for men at 9 servings up to, say, 13 servings for adolescent males. And so the precision of the dietary recommendations has gotten greater because of the trials that are being looked at for different diseases, and also because of the benefits of fruits and vegetables to weight management.
So these minimum recommended levels, 7 servings for women, 9 for men, is this something that has met with the agreement of everybody?
The Dietary Guidelines for Americans are updated every 5 years by the federal government. They represent consensus between the Department of Health and Human Services, which includes the National Institutes of Health, as well as the Centers for Disease Control, and the Food and Drug Administration, along with the United States Department of Agriculture.
So pretty much the entire American public health establishment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what they do is try to look across all of the diseases as well as looking at wellness and nutritional status and so forth to come up with these recommendations. And so those are really the guidelines that I would recommend for the public to adhere to, and know that the scientists who contribute to those recommendations are independent scientists. They are chosen very carefully to represent children, women, men, ethnic groups, socioeconomic strata, and the different diseases, so that there really is a consensus process that takes about 2 years to develop. And then after that, the federal government authorities look at those recommendations with an eye toward what makes sense for the American public. And basically, the conclusions that we have are that our dietary intake needs to change to be one that is more like a Mediterranean diet or an Asian diet, where the amount of fruits, vegetables, beans, and plant foods is greatly increased, while the amount of processed foods, particularly those with fat and sugar, as well as animal products, and again, particularly processed animal products, are reduced. And that's really what the Dietary Guidelines for Americans are now telling us.
So at these numbers, 7 at minimum for women, 9 at minimum for men, on average, if a person is eating 3 meals a day, we're talking about 2 to 3 servings per meal of fruits and vegetables.
That's right. And another easy way to think about it is being sure that you have fruits and vegetables with every eating occasion. So breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. And if you're thinking about a dinner plate or a plate of the food that you would have in a restaurant, that about half of that food should be fruits and vegetables. So the plate that you think about eating or the lunch that you might pack is very different from what most people are now doing.
So if half of the meal is fruits and vegetables, what does the other half consist of? Is grains included in that other half?
Yes, the grains would be included in the other half, as would the protein-rich foods such as fish, chicken, and red meats.
Where do the legumes come in?
The legumes are often counted among the meat alternates, but they can also fit in as a vegetable. They kind of live in both worlds because they're so rich in the same protein nutrients that meat, chicken, and poultry have, but they also have fiber and a number of the of protective phytochemicals that are included in fruits and vegetables.
Let's talk about phytochemicals. These are naturally occurring substances found in fruits and vegetables that have been discovered by scientists who have sometimes remarkable properties for reducing a person's risk of cancer. Which of the fruits and veggies are richest in anti-cancer properties?
The categories of fruits and vegetables that are the most protective include the dark green and orange vegetables, vegetables in the cruciferous family, which would include broccoli, cauliflower, kale, Brussels sprouts, soybean products, other legumes, and vegetables in the onion family, which would include leeks, onions, garlic, and then tomato products. And so you'll notice that a lot of these are vegetables rather than fruits if you're talking about cancer prevention.
Therefore, it makes sense to pay particular attention to including vegetables in one's daily total of 7 for women and 9 for men.
That's exactly right. And you can almost think about your vegetables should be a little bit more than half of your fruit and your total fruit and vegetable intake.
What are your favorite anti-cancer foods in your meals, Sue?
Well, I love the green and orange vegetables. So the squashes, the carrots, of course, are a staple. Spinach, broccoli, the dark lettuces. Salad is such a wonderful base to add more vegetables and fruits to, and it's quick and easy to prepare and light to eat. You just feel good after you've eaten those. And, of course, tomatoes during the summertime, and processed tomatoes any time of year with cooking on pasta are wonderful to have. Legumes are extremely versatile for salads of all sorts, as well as salads in the summer, soups in the winter. So all of these foods are convenient, healthy, and wonderful to eat because they taste so good.
So when am I invited over?
You are welcome any time, David. Just give me a minute's notice.
You've been listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum. I'm David Freudberg. For more information and to learn about Walking Through the Storm, our radio documentary project for cancer survivors, please go to humanmedia.org. Thank you for listening.